mercy of God. I admire your willingness to be so vulnerable. There's so many folks walking down those same kind of paths. I love what you said about being made aware that what Jesus did is enough. Amen. The mercy and the grace of our Lord and Savior, whose arms are always open, who loves us and waits for us to come home. I'm going to be rather brief this morning because we've had a great service already. And we got children who are going to be fairly patient because this is normally their Sunday to escape to children's church. Today, we keep them confined. Started last Sunday, a series called The Blessed, as we look through the Beatitudes. I'm only going to cover one of them today, and that's Blessed are the Merciful. And I, to kind of change the tone just a little bit, as I thought about merciful, and I knew we were going to have college students here, are any of you literature majors? Well, probably you'll know this without being, and this is open to everybody. This is a quiz. We're going to start with a literature quiz this morning because it fits the message really well. The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the earth beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. Someone tell me the author and the source. Don't be shy. Well, it's William Shakespeare. And it comes from a comedy, The Merchant of Venice. And it is Portia speaking to Shylock on behalf of a debtor who cannot pay his debt. Now, I need to be completely honest and tell you, I have not read The Merchant of Venice. In fact, I have not read anything of Shakespeare that I was not required to read. I read a synopsis of The Merchant of Venice, and there was a great temptation to tell you the story and act as if I were intelligent. But I'm sure some of you would see right through that. But the quality of mercy is not strained. It blesseth twice. It blesses him that gives and him that takes. Sounds like what Jesus said when he began the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let's look at the scripture. It's always good to look at scripture. We'll read the text real quickly of Matthew 5, 1 through 12, where all those Beatitudes, all those blessings. And seeing the multitude, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful. Mercy is a quality that is throughout the scripture. And it's there for a reason, because it is so essential. First of all, in our relationship to our Heavenly Father who has been merciful to us. You know, sometimes these Beatitudes, these blessings, make such demands. Ashley talked about the difference between just going through the motions and then really realizing it's a commitment to live that life. And we look at some of the things Jesus said and think, surely he could not have meant that. Surely that's not possible. Surely he doesn't expect us to forgive our enemies. Surely he doesn't expect us to live peacefully with folks who oppose us. Yes, he does. and He provides the grace to do that. And it also is not just a list of requirements so that we can say, well, I've checked that one off and I think I'm a lot like Jesus in that category. Everything He's prescribed for us to do has a double blessing, as Shakespeare wrote. The quality of mercy is not strained. It blesseth him who gives and him who takes. When we are merciful, we really obtain mercy. It is for our own good, really, that we should be merciful. Psalm 41 is a psalm where David was very, very sick. His enemies were ridiculing him and putting him down. And in those first four verses of Psalm 41, there are some qualities of mercy in a circumstance where we need to be merciful but don't feel like being merciful. David writes, "Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you." Colleen, can we go back to verse 1? I want to just make a couple of comments about each one of these verses that will show us the healing power, the benefit of being merciful people. There is that beatitude in the Old Testament. Blessed is the one who considers the poor, the one who is considerate to one who has less, whether it be money or any other thing. Someone to whom you know you owe some kindness without ever expecting it to be paid back. To know that they not only may not have the material resources, they may not have the emotional or spiritual resources to ever give back what you're offering to them. The Lord will deliver him in his time of trouble. You'll never go wrong by being merciful to someone else. Because one of the things that's a value of being merciful to other folks is that someday you're going to need a little mercy. And have you ever noticed in human nature how it is that it is a little easier to extend mercy to someone who is of a merciful nature rather than someone who thinks they don't need anything, that they're arrogant and proud and unforgiving? It's hard to be merciful. And so if you're that kind of person, if you're hard and arrogant and unforgiving, it will be hard to obtain mercy in your day of need. I recently had an experience where it was a great miracle took place in relationships, and one of the miracles was that there was mercy extended by one person to another from whom the person who received the mercy never expected to receive mercy. And I knew the situation. I was telling Colleen, I said, you know, probably the reason the person finally extended some mercy was he began to look at his own life. And believe me, I know that history well enough to know he's going to need a little mercy someday. And maybe it dawned on him, I need to quit being so arrogant and proud because I may need some mercy. The sad thing is to see folks who never realize their own need for mercy, and it prohibits them from being merciful. But the Lord will deliver the one who's merciful in his time of trouble. It works that way. The second verse, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he'll be blessed on the earth, and you will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. You know, it kind of coincides with Jesus, and blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In other words, life goes better. Let me just simplify it. Life goes better when you practice the principles that God has asked us to practice. And it'll keep you from being delivered to the will of your enemies. Like I said, if you're an unmerciful, arrogant, hard to get along with, unforgiving, mean-spirited person, you're just asking for trouble. Folks want to fight with people like that. They don't want to be merciful with folks like that. And there is a way to be at peace, generally speaking, by being a peaceful and merciful person, to stay out of the messes that some folks seem to always get themselves into because they lack the qualities of humility and mercy and grace. Verse 3, the Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. I just want to say that a lot of folks are physically sick because of their attitude. A lot of folks are physically sick because of negativity, unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, carrying thoughts of vengeance, and it'll get you down. It will make you sick. And the Lord says those who are merciful will find healing in their day of sickness. But all of those qualities are founded upon the fact, as David said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I've sinned against you. The beginning place of mercy is to recognize, Lord, I need your mercy. You know, there's a term that's used in our legal system. It's called throwing yourself on the mercy of the court. Folks, every one of us someday, sometime, somehow is going to need mercy. And every human being who's created and has ever lived needs, first of all, the mercy of God in the forgiveness of sins. So David talks about that in Psalm 41. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. And David exhibited mercy to some enemies of his. How many of you, this one, somebody will know. How many people in here have heard of Mephibosheth? All right, that's good to know. Mephibosheth was the grandson of King Saul, and he was crippled in his foot. It was Jonathan's boy. And Jonathan and David had a really strong relationship, but there was enmity between the house of Saul and the house of David when one kingdom was replaced by another. David, you know, of the tribe of Judah, and Saul of the tribe of Benjamin, and now David's king, and murder takes place, and opponents are executed. But David, once he was established in the kingdom, after all the years of Saul unfairly trying to kill him, David asked this question. Read all of these stories in 2 Samuel. I'll give you the text in just a moment. He said, is there anybody left in Saul's house, in his family, to whom I could show kindness, to show mercy? And they said, well, there's Jonathan's boy, Mephibosheth, and he's lame, and he's not able to work. And David said, go get him, bring him here. And Mephibosheth is brought before mighty King David, and he falls down at David's feet and says, who is your servant that you would look on a dog like me? And I'll paraphrase quickly, and David said, son, get up. You're going to be in my household from now on, and you're going to eat at the king's table, and I'll have the servants work your fields, and I'm showing you kindness. You see, that's the picture of us. We come before the Lord, and we're bound with guilt and undeserving feelings. And we come before him, and he says, son, daughter, get up. You're going to eat at the king's table. I'm going to take care of you because there's mercy in my heart. The one I really liked, now, so this is interactive today, right? It's getting harder. Who's heard of Shemaiah? Robbie has. I can tell all these folks who do their Old Testament survey history. Shimei was a member of Saul's court, and when David had to leave Jerusalem because Absalom, his son, was planning a revolt to take over the kingdom, David, in great shame, leaves Jerusalem with an entourage. He's being run out of the city because his son's trying to take over. This is a dramatic scene. David's leaving in shame. Running along the road beside David as he leaves Jerusalem is this fellow named Shimei, who worked under King Saul. And he's cursing David. He's throwing rocks at David. He's calling him names. He says, you're nothing but a bloodthirsty rogue. And it says he acted like a wild man, kicking up the dust, cursing David, throwing. And one of David's leaders said, let me go over there and take a sword and cut his head off. And David said, no, perhaps I deserve to be cursed. Perhaps my actions are such that I'm getting just what I deserve. Later, David brings Shimei before him when he comes back to Jerusalem and is restored as king. Once again, Shimei expects to be executed, and David said, nobody's going to die in Israel today. And he showed him mercy. Folks, these are extreme examples of the mercy that we need to learn to extend to one another, and that has been extended to us by God. Quickly, two New Testament examples of mercy. Remember the unmerciful servant? Here's Peter, the apostle, thinking like most of us think. And the Bible doesn't tell us what had happened. We know something had happened because Peter comes to Jesus and he said, Jesus, how many times should I forgive somebody who is unkind to me and has wronged me? Seven times? We almost picture that Peter's feeling pretty important and pretty pious and pretty spiritual. And Jesus said, well, I wouldn't say seven. I'd say 70 times seven. But the kingdom of heaven is like this. There was a rich man once whose servant owed him 10,000 talents of silver, and he couldn't pay. And so Jesus said, he commanded this fellow to be thrown into prison, and his wife and his children to be sold to pay back what he could, and for him to stay in prison until he could pay the debt. And the fellow pleaded with his master and said, you know, I could never pay such a debt. Please, please have mercy on me. Jesus said the man forgave him the debt. Immediately this fellow goes out and finds one of his fellow servants who owes him a measly 100 denarii. And he said, pay me what you owe me. And he said, I can't. Please have mercy on me. And that servant said, no, I'll not have any mercy on you. I'm having you thrown in jail till you pay every penny you owe me, the piddling little pittance that it was. The fellow servants saw that, and obviously they were very disheartened, and they went and told the master what had happened. The master brought that servant back in and said, you know, you will go to prison now until every penny is paid. I was merciful to you. I forgave you this enormous debt, and you wouldn't even forgive this piddling debt. Therefore, you're going to prison and deal with the tormentors. Folks, you can't miss the picture in that. Look at the debt that you and I owe. A debt of sin against a holy God that we could never repay, that cost God the precious blood of his Son, and he wiped the slate clean, and then somebody cusses us out at the stoplight. Maybe somebody beat us out of $100 one time. Maybe somebody did something pretty bad to us, and we clench our teeth and clench our fists and say, I'll never have mercy on that person. The Bible's pretty plain about that. Only those who are merciful obtain mercy. Only those who are merciful obtain mercy. Two closing scriptures, Luke 6:32-36. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Go back to verse 35 for just 1 second. And you will, hoping for nothing in return, and you will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Verse 34. No, 35 was the one I wanted. It said, great is your reward. The verse that talks about great is your reward. I just wanted to say quickly, that doesn't mean only in heaven. Folks, there are rewards in this life for doing the right thing. Now, granted, not everything will be made right and just until Christ comes again. I'm just trying to emphasize that the more you and I will practice the things that Jesus said, the greater our quality of life. The more example of Christ-likeness, the more peaceful life and enjoyable life and smooth in your relationships. And your reward will be great. Why? You'll be sons of the Most High. We'll look like God here on earth. We'll be examples of Jesus by our mercy that we extend to others just as he extended to us. Ephesians is the last scripture. Ephesians 4. And I want to emphasize that this little section begins with the words, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." I think it says, as we move into the next verses, that when we behave in unmerciful ways, when we behave in unforgiveness and harboring grudges against people, it grieves the Spirit of God. We were sealed for the day of redemption through the Holy Spirit. So by not grieving him, verse 31 gives us some examples. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. I looked at another version for clamor is loud arguing. You know, God's a God of peace and not of confusion. It grieves me today that so many folks thrive on confusion and drama and loud clamoring. It just seems to be normal, but it's abnormal. I'm just saying to you, because I know the world we live in, and I know about relationships, and I see enough and have experienced enough, as many of you have, to know this is no way to live. Don't you want a little peace in your life? Don't you want healthy relationships instead of broken relationships? Forgiveness instead of unforgiveness? Gentleness instead of bitterness? Then these principles work. And it's the Holy Spirit who leads us to let this bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. See, that's the key too. It's that get even kind of mentality. It's deceptive and manipulative. It's like even sometimes it appears to be self-righteous, even spiritual. But there's an evil malice behind it because it's an attempt to put somebody down, to get even with somebody, to make them look bad. Our next beatitude down the line will be about the pure in heart, but we'll save that. So, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Why? How? Even as God in Christ forgave you. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Folks, my heart's been warm, thrilled, exalted in worship and praise. Our worship team, thank you guys for making it so wonderful. And thank all of you for working with our guests to make their presentation of worship so good. My heart was touched by Ashley's testimony. And I know that God's using that today to speak to hearts. He always knows what's best and when. I've shared what little bit I wanted to share with you about mercy. That may speak to some of us, if not to all of us. And so at this time, when we close our service with a time of commitment, invitation, meditation, time where when we're singing and worshiping, all the things maybe that have transpired here in this little room today, God can speak to you personally, and you can respond according. I'll ask the worship team to come. I'll ask that we all stand to our feet. And if there is a response, and of course, as always, anyone who would like prayer for healing, we will anoint you with oil and pray for you. If you want to just come to this altar and kneel down, spend a little quiet time with the Lord, just you and him, that's fine. If you need one of us elders, we'll be glad to pray with you as well. So let's just go before the Lord and let him speak to our hearts as we close.
Sin and its ways crumble. All of my heart turns to stone, and I'm left with no strength to arise. How you need to be lifted high. Sin and its ways lead to pain, left here with hurt and with shame. So no longer will I leave your side. Jesus, you be lifted.
even now that I'm inside your pants. Help me not to grow prideful again. Don't let me forsake sacrifice. Jesus, you be lifted high. And if I'm blessed with the riches of kings, how could I ever think that it was me? For you brought me from darkness to light. Jesus, you be lifted high. You be to my knees, so it's you that they see, not I. Jesus, you be lifted high.
Yes.
Well, once again, we are thankful for each one of you who chose and were led to be in the house of the Lord today. Reminder of just two or three things. Youth activity at 4:30 this afternoon in the great room. Great concert tonight at Harrisburg Christian Church at 7 o'clock. Encourage you then on a personal note to take time to greet one another, especially our guests from Campbellsville. Also to check with Stan and Nona about what's going on in recovery from their house fire. And those things, I just encourage you to take time to, if you're not in a big hurry, linger as long as you can, greet one another, take some time to just still share the love of Christ. Try not to get away in too big a hurry. Is there anything that I have forgotten before we break up and we can't get everybody's attention again? Again, if someone would like to come privately after our benediction, we'll be here. Just seek us out. We'd be glad to pray with you. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. You are dismissed. Please greet one another with the love of Christ.